Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, most of you would not disagree with the idea of thanking God for all his provisions for you by tithing, which is returning a portion of what God has given to you, to him. But God not only requires tithing to show thankfulness, he also requires that you show your thankfulness by giving to others a portion of what he has given to you. So on this Thanksgiving Day, we will focus on what God taught in the Proverbs concerning giving. Of course, it's such a big topic, there's no way you can simply preach in one passage or preach this from the scripture. There'll be too much to talk about, so we'll limit it to the Proverbs. And our headings are the reason for giving, the method of giving, and the results of giving. The reason, the method, the results. And our goals are that you will eagerly and generously give to others, understanding that not only did God give you money, but that God gave you eternal salvation, something worth more than the most precious rubies in the world. We start then with looking at the reason for giving. The reason for giving. First of all, there's no question about the command to give. You should give to others. And you see this in the Proverbs by verbal commands, but also by exemplary commands. There are some things in the scriptures that are explicitly commanded, and there are some things that are commanded by the examples. For example, we have a command to worship on Sunday. Where? Well, we see that by the apostolic examples. Jesus meeting with people on Sunday after his resurrection, the disciples meeting regularly on Sunday. So we have to train our minds not just to think about the explicit commands, but the implicit or the exemplary commands. And this time we'll look at the example of a command to give when we look at that perfect woman described for us in Proverbs 31. Let's read Proverbs 31, verse 20. Together, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. It's an active way. It's an action. She's doing something to help the poor, to give to the poor for their needs, to meet their needs. Now, when you give, you show, you understand that everything you have and own is a gift of God. And sharing a portion of what God has given to you is a way of showing thankfulness to him. If somebody does a big favor for you, you give them a token, some flowers or a gift. You think of something they might like. That's what is normal to us, and that's what God expects. When you consider how much he has given to you, and that everything you have is because of him, then you reach out to the poor. Look at the warning and the encouragement at the same time. Proverbs 14:31. Together, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. You want to honor God? Then you be kind to the poor. You be kind to the poor. You notice, and the reason I wanted to focus on this is because you can't help but hear, give money to the church, send money to the church for this and that and the other. There's not as much focus on the poor. We think that when we are concerned about the poor, that some of that socialism. Now, socialism is bad. Charity, being generous to the needy, is good. God says so. Specifically, when you give, you show you're thankful for God's salvation. You understand that your soul has a place in heaven. And how do we see that? Look at two verses now from Proverbs 29 and then Proverbs 21. Proverbs 29:7 says, together, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. Proverbs 21:26, together, he covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. The key there is to see the word righteous. How are you righteous? Well, there's only one way you can become righteous, is when the action of Jesus Christ, the active and the passive actions of Jesus Christ, are credited to your account and you are covered with his righteousness. When he obeyed, his good works are counted as your good works. When he died on the cross, it's as if you died on the cross, and that's put to your account. And that's how you're righteous. And that's why you would consider the cause of the poor. This is why you give. You also give not because of salvation that God's given to you. That's the primary reason. But you also give because some of God's children are needy. You love God, you must also love your neighbor. You have brothers and sisters who might want some help, and that's your responsibility. Remember what Proverbs 22, verse 2 says now, together. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. See, you don't have to give to people who can give back to you. That's one of the, what I like to say is the Christmas scam. You're giving people and they're giving back to you. Sort of a negotiator thing. And you try to buy a gift of equal value to what they might buy for you. Well, the better giving, and there's nothing wrong in exchanging gifts, don't misunderstand. But the point is, if you're really going to give, what is considered real giving in God's eyes is when you give to people who can't give back to you. There's one religion that teaches that in order to show thankfulness to God, you must give 2.5% of your income to the poor yearly. But many of the followers of that religion, what they would do then is to give their relatives 2.5%, and then their relatives will give you back 2.5%, so you're equal. But that's not what this is not what giving is about. They're obeying the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, which is to help the poor. And God wants you to give to people who can't give back to you. It's even better when you give to people who don't even know who you are. We have to give to those who are truly poor. So you understand God's love for you. Here's a command to give. God's love for you, so you give to him. God's people are poor, so you give to them. That's why you would give. So how would you do it? Let's consider then the method of giving. The method of giving. First, you have to look for opportunity to give. Don't pretend not to see the needy. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says, together, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. You know, the idea, you can't see. If you can't see it, you don't have to give it. You don't have to cater for the poor. And you know, some people live that way. They live aloof from the things that are going on around. Sometimes it's deliberate. They don't want to learn of what's happening in the world. They don't care what's happening in their neighborhood. And this limits their ability to help. But you need to invest time in finding out how you're helping. You need to know more than simply write a check and say, I've got off my conscience. Or if I give to this organization, I'm going to get 40% back from the government in tax breaks. That's not why you give. You look for real needs and you give. And you need to do research. There are a lot of organizations that are absolutely not the same. Something that's very popular, something like Red Cross. Many people give money to those organizations, but only a minuscule amount of that money goes to real causes. Most of their money goes to administration. Whereas if you look at something like World Vision, maybe 80% of their money goes towards the cause. But then you also have to ask, do they give money towards the support of killing children? And then you'll have to think, well, maybe there's some other organizations that might not be supporting the killing of children by abortions. And you have to balance these things. It takes research. Another popular thing is March for Dimes. I think about 6 or 8% of the money goes to the causes that they pretend to support. And all the rest goes to administration. So you have to find out. And if you're giving to people directly, you have to find out. If you see someone begging on the road, you think, oh, he's needy, let me give to him. Well, maybe he's not going to use that money properly. Maybe he'll be getting drunk on it or using it to buy drugs. So you have a responsibility to look carefully for the opportunity to give. This is part of true thanksgiving. It's not just writing a check. Remember. Second, in terms of method of giving, do not give to lazy people. Some people are poor because they're lazy. They don't feel a compulsion to work. They would rather have other people pay their bills. There's one Christian man who told me that his mother-in-law, of all people, had an obligation to pay for his medicines because he was fat and he couldn't work and she had the money. And since she was a Christian, she was obligated to help him. Well, this is poverty from laziness. And he was a destroyer of his family. A couple of years ago, he died. And his family had to do a GoFundMe project to raise money for his funeral. You realize the problem there? Those are people who you should not be giving money to. You want to be thankful to God, but you have to be thankful in a way that honors God. Look at what God says in his word. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Together, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The lazy one is destructive. Don't support destructive people. And some people simply lack ambition, and they should starve. That sounds very cruel, come from a pastor, doesn't it? But it's actually the truth thing. It's the truth. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You should starve. So don't waste God's gifts on lazy people. At the same time, number three, don't assume people are lazy. One who is poor might be there by divine appointment. Sometimes poor people are used by God to reach other poor people because they can empathize with the needs of other poor people. So they might be working hard, but they never really get rich. And there's nothing wrong in helping people who are poor this way. Some may be poor because they're sick, or for some reason that you don't know, you can't see. Maybe they're helping other family members who are poorer than they are, and then it's okay to help them. So you have to be careful not to judge and say, well, he's poor because he's lazy, he doesn't want to work. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 now, verse 1. Together, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. In other words, there are people who can be walking in integrity, godly people who are simply poor. Don't forget that. I've seen people, I've gone to a few places where you've seen really poor people, but they're really godly people as well. And those are people that we should be ready to help. Think about it. Where was Jesus born? Was he born into a palace? That's what people were looking for. If he's going to be a king after David, he better be born from some good lineage, from near some palace or related to the palace. And he was born in a poor place. Not only that, in the most backward place in Israel he was born, into a poor family. They didn't have a proper place to live. And what about all those Christians around the world? Think of the brothers. I saw some poverty in India that will make you, yeah, it'll be hard to hold back tears when you see. But when you hear those people sing in church on Sunday, or even during the week when they have their Bible studies, you think, wow, they have a reason to sing. Why? Because they have their integrity. They're walking before the Lord. In God's plan, they're poor. But that might be to teach you to learn to help them. I mentioned before, I've seen a place where people were living, where people were living in Ukraine. You wouldn't put your animals to live in some of those places. You talk about cold. And that's, they have paper literally pasted over the creases in their walls for their cold winters. But it's not from a lack of faith. So be careful not to assume that they are there because they're lazy. Four, giving is not limited to Christians. In a general way, we can say that all people are children of God. Remember, yesterday you learned about the fact that God's in covenant with all people, even picture of the animals being included in that covenant. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. Together, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. He didn't say, well, they better be Christians, otherwise you can't help them. Of course, giving starts with the Church of God. In fact, we can say giving starts in your own family. We say charity begins at home. So you ought to help your Christian brothers who have need first. But it doesn't mean that you don't help others. When you hear of the tsunami that just hit in Indonesia, and about 1,500 bodies they've already recovered, and you've seen entire villages just wiped away, you show the love of God by helping those, if you are in that position, to help those who have need. Think of all those people who lost their homes in North Carolina and recently, or some of the Caribbean islands from the hurricane. You help them as well as God gives you the opportunity. You don't stand up and say, well, are you a Christian first? And then, are you Reformed? Well, are you a five-point Calvinist? If you're a Baptist, you go lower. No, you help those who have need. You don't push them away because they're not exactly like you are, because they're also God's children. And then five, in terms of method of giving, give more than money. Money is relatively easy to give. You can go on the internet, you can send an email, money by email or transfer or credit card. But getting your hands down and dirty is much more difficult. Isn't that true? I mean, it's easy. You probably had one of the flyers delivered to your house that says, for $4.50, you can provide a Thanksgiving meal at Scott's Mission for someone who's homeless. And you say, yeah, sure, I can give. I can spare $4.50. But would you go on a Thanksgiving day to help feed those people? Get personally involved. More than that, you can plead the cause of the poor. You can speak up for proper pay. There are places where people take advantage of the poor because they can. They justify it because of capitalism, but they can't justify it because of Christ. Because the Bible warns you about paying a fair wage. Pay what's within your ability to do, not what you can get away with legally. So you can plead for that cause. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 9. Together, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Remember their case. And again, not because they're not Christians, you say, that's their business. You remember those who are being abused in society. You see, you reflect Christ in society. You can provide for people by working for proper conditions in society, so people can develop their own business. If you have a safe society, then people are free to develop and can earn their own money. You can give advice, personal, marriage, financial. You know, we live at a time where, especially you deal with the millennials, very few of them have a clue of how to handle money. And instead of giving them a check, might be to sit them down and talk to them about how they're spending their money and what choices they're making, learning to buy better than they're buying. That's one way you can help them. Well, there's their marriage problems. Instead of saying, leave, we'll support you, you work on the marriage together, or you get help for them so that the couple can be reconciled. Or maybe there's a personal problem. Maybe somebody's just lazy. and you need to encourage them, challenge them, rebuke them. That's a good way of giving to them. You know, that's the idea. You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. That's true. That's what you're doing as a Christian. That's another way of helping those who have need. You can provide worker training. This way a man can, you can teach that man how to provide for his whole family. You can support the businesses of the poor. You know, even if it costs you a few dollars more, in our mind, we think the cheapest price is always better. Cheapest price is always better because we want to save money. But if you have someone who's trying hard to develop a business and they can come out of poverty and they just need to get over that point that the business can develop, that's one way of helping. So it's not just throwing money at the problem. Look at what has happened. For 200 years, the West has thrown money at Africa. And look at the condition of the continent today. In some ways, it's worse off. The diseases, the chaos, the weak governments, the totalitarian governments, things haven't changed there very much. Probably worse now. And simply giving money has never been the solution. It's learning, maybe investing, developing business, teaching people how to work. That might help more. And finally, a note on a method of giving. Give to people without expecting something back. You've already received enough. Remember, this is about thankfulness to God for all he's given to you. It's not to give to people who can give you back something. You know, think about that at the election time. A lot of people vote. They give money towards people running for office because they want to have those contacts back. You should be giving to the best candidate so that they will do good for the whole society, not the one that you can control by the giving of your money. If you do so, then that's not good giving. That's an investment. You can call it something else, but it shouldn't be called giving. What's the result then? Third point about giving, the results of giving. First of all, the Bible says you never lose when you give out of thankfulness. Rather, you become richer. God said so. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 now. Together, there is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You give to others, God will give back to you. You water others, God will water you. Proverbs 19:17, together. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. The Lord will pay back. Isn't that a good deal? He's going to give you back things that are much better than you give. Proverbs 22:9. Together, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And remember, when we think of blessed, it's not the line you hear on television, send us $20 and God will give you back $200. God's not that cheap. God will give you back in things that are much better. You see the term blessed? It doesn't mean happy. Blessed is how God sees you. It's what God gives to you. That's the blessing of the soul that you can't buy with money. Oh, the Lord might be pleased to give you trivial things like food and clothing and shelter, but he's promising the prosperity of the soul, the greater blessing. But keep in mind that these are not the purposes of giving. You're not giving so that you will get back stuff. You're giving, and as a result, God will give you things. Your purpose is to help the poor. The result is God will give things to you. Second, when you give, you will earn the praise of men. Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, together, A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. That's the blessing and the opportunity he has in talking to other people, greater people. Proverbs 19:6, together. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend of the one who gives gifts. Now, that can be taken negative, but it's also positive as well, that you are able to get the praise of men by being generous. And here's the thing, and ultimately, men will praise God for you. They will praise God because of you. And again, though, keep in mind, now this is not the result. You don't help the poor because you want people to say nice things about you, but people might say nice things about you because you help the poor. It's the result, not the purpose of your action. And then there's a third result. And so it's a negative result. What happens? What are the results if you don't give to the poor and therefore not show you're thankful for your supper and for your salvation? You're not thankful to God for all his benefits that he has bestowed upon you. What happens then? Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, together, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. You know what happens if you're not thankful and you don't help the poor? God will not hear you. Proverbs 22, verse 16, 22 and 23. Together, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. How can you rob the poor? Making him work for less than he should. What about this afflicted at the gate? The gate was a seat of contention or of court. And if you use your position to deny justice to the poor because he's poor, because he can't afford the expensive lawyers, the Bible says God will plunder you. That's the warning. It's a warning for not being truly thankful to God and helping those who are needy. Let's conclude. You give because you're thankful for your supper. You're thankful for your salvation in Jesus Christ. You give your tithes to God and you give your goods or whatever the need is to your neighbor. And what are the results of giving? You cause men to praise God, and you yourself will be rewarded by God in this life and certainly in the next. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, first, remind yourself every day when you overcome sin that Jesus saved you with his precious blood. Think of what that cost him. And remind yourself every day when you sit at your supper table that everything you have is because of Jesus Christ. Everything you have. Now, as children, you might look at your toys and say, look at all the toys God's given to me. Look how God gave me parents to take care of me and cook for me and help me and teach me and discipline me. Though people don't like to thank God too much for that one. But those are all blessings from God. Think about the friends you have, the church you're able to attend, the home you live in. All of these are things that are generous gifts from God. So how do you respond? You respond by worship. Part of that worship is giving of the gifts to the Lord, a tenth of what you earn. But more than that, you generously should help your neighbor. Not just in money, of course, but in many ways, some of which I pointed out today. And remember, when you give, your goal is not to get back. When you give, you are telling that person, God has been good to me. I want you to know how God is good to me, and I want you to praise God. And maybe that person is not a Christian, will say, wow, look at what God is doing in that life, that person's life. He didn't have to help me, but he reached out and he helped me. I'm going to find out about that God. I'm going to talk to them. And then you will say, here, let me show you about God. Here's the Bible. You see, the food will not save them. The money won't save them. But it's the gospel. And you're opening up the door for them to hear the gospel, to believe, and then to praise God. And finally, if you're not a Christian, the greatest thing you need is salvation. And God offers it for free. I can tell you how to get it. If you want to know, ask me. But here's the reminder, without God's salvation, you might have all the food and drink in the world, but it will all come to nothing in the end. Hell is the only end of those who don't have salvation. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you saved us, redeemed us from hell, from the pit, from being enemies of yours, to being called sons of the living God. We thank you that you have brought us into your church so that we can be instructed, we can be nourished, we can be disciplined, kept in the way of truth. We thank you for this country in which we live in. We can enjoy freedom, riches, comforts. We thank you, Father, that you've given many of us spouses, parents, children. We can raise those children for your glory. We can sharpen our spouses that they will love you more. We can encourage our parents to walk in the way of truth. We thank you, Father, for friendships that we are able to enjoy. Though we may come from different backgrounds, we may have friends from all over the world. And what a blessing it is to be able to do so. We have work. We can earn and provide for ourselves and for others as well. Lord, in this country, we have food in abundance, more than we are able to eat. Such riches. We have clothing. We have homes that are comfortable. Lord, all of these are reminders of how much you loved us and all that you've given to us. But as we have heard today, teach us to give. Teach us to share with others of the abundance that you have provided for us, so that men and women, boys and girls, will thank you for the work you have done in us. Impress these truths, these warnings upon our hearts, that we will leave here this Thanksgiving Day stimulated in our souls, be truly thankful, and to show it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.